Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. Hey, so he can play football.
He's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Welcome to Black and Gold Backstage with Danny Bostic. Today we're talking to Nico Davis, undrafted free agent from the Steelers. Nico, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
So how's it been going for you?
Oh, it's been going really well. It's been a great time for me.
And gearing up for training camp, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Training camp, we start a little bit early, because we play the Hall of Fame game against the Vikings in Ohio. So, yeah, I'm headed down, and actually just next week.
And what have you been doing to get ready for that? Because I know Mike Tomlin told everybody you got to be in the best shape ever.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think, if you're not in great shape, you don't even have a chance. And so I've been running every single day. I run long distance. I sprint every day. I've been lifting a lot, but I think the main thing is getting in shape, like just being able to run all day. You know, if I am to quote Coach Tomlin, being able to run all day, being in phenomenal physical conditioning.
So it sounds like you're taking his words to heart. And I know you used to swim. Is that part of your routine at all these days, or is it mostly just running?
Yeah, I do swim. I haven't swam since I've been home in Buffalo, no. But gearing up for training camp, yeah, just running, which is, you know, I'm not a big fan of just getting out and running, you know, long distance or whatever, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
So if Coach Tomlin says you got to run all day, you're going to figure out how.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He says, the thing about him, he tells you exactly what you need to know to be successful. And so one of the things that he says quite often is being in phenomenal, excellent physical conditioning, and he's clear that conditioning level is different in college than it is in the pros, and so I take his words right to heart. Yes, I do.
So you mentioned some lifting. Are you getting any tips from James Harrison?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, when I was there in Pittsburgh, right now I'm home and break in Buffalo, but when I was in Pittsburgh, James Harrison was probably the hardest worker on the team. I mean, he just every single day, early in the morning, he was in the weight room lifting weights and doing, on a cardio machine every single day. And so I think really just taking tips from watching him and seeing him, he's been doing it for a long time. And if there's anybody who, you know, could maybe feel like they can kick their legs up and kind of relax because they're a veteran, they've been around, it's him. But he doesn't do that. He's in there working, sweating, you know, every single day. And I watch that, and I'm listening clear to what I'm seeing.
Sounds like it. And what about some of the other guys you see down there working out hard? Who are some of the other people you've kind of turned to as a rookie for guidance?
Yeah, I think just right off the bat, just being in practice and watching practice, you notice Antonio Brown, who's, you know, one of the best receivers in this league, but he, in practice, he doesn't walk around with his chin up. He doesn't walk around, you know, thinking he's the man and he's done this and that. No, when we're in practice, the guy just runs, you know, if he's not on the field at the time, I saw him and a couple other guys running sprints back and forth the width of the field. And during practice, which is something I'm not used to seeing, and his work ethic, when he catches the ball and his detail to his assignment, he takes the ball 80 yards down the field after he catches it every time and then runs back and does the same thing again. And so just his work ethic, man, and him and even guys at my position, Cam Hayward for one, I mean, he's another guy. When he, during a play, he runs it all the way down as far as he can. And it's just, man, I just see those things, and I know then what I have to do or what I should be doing.
So how's your position, Coach? How's that working out?
Oh, man, it's great. We got Coach John Mitchell. He's been with the Steelers for a long time. He's a great coach. I enjoy him a lot. And, you know, when I was there, I definitely got, you know, a couple fuss and twos and, you know, just, yeah, being able to learn his system and how he teaches and coaches and what we need. It's a growing experience. And but I definitely appreciate his wisdom and knowledge of the game in general and then also the system that we run here in Pittsburgh.
And how about that playbook? I remember last time we talked, you were talking about pulling out all the tricks in the book that you had to study. What's that been like learning Steelers playbook?
Oh, it's been great. Yeah, it's been great. I think the moment that you sit down and say that you know it and you got it pretty well, that's when you need to keep studying a lot more. And there's just so much, and it's so good. And so when I was there, great notes, wrote a lot of things down, all my plays, all my everything I need to know, everything I need to – where I need to be, how I need to do it, because it all plays a role, you know, and something as simple as the way your stance when you get down before a play – plays a role in how effective you can be. And so just studying all those things, I mean, I got note cards, I got flash cards, little index cards. I write the plays on the front and then my assignment on the back, and I quiz myself. I mean, I do it all. And I think that in order to be effective or in order to even make it at this level, you got to have that.
So what's been, speaking of making it at this level, what's been the biggest adjustment or the biggest surprise for you coming out of Liberty?
I think, you know, one thing, all the, you know, at Liberty, we had a lot of good players. And so in practice, you know, going against each other, there was some good competition. But I think just overall, the level of competition here is just so much greater from the guys right next to you at your position and then from the guys right across from you. I mean, man, I just watch, man, Pouncey, Mikey's Pouncey, in film, and he's so crafty and talented. And I'm used to, you know, my senior year at Liberty, I played defensive tackle, so a lot of times I would go against the center, and if I had to pass rush against a center, man, I was licking my chops. I loved it, you know, because a lot of times I could just make a move and get around him. And man, but I'm looking at Pouncey on film and just seeing him, I haven't really got to go against him too much myself, but man, he is just good. He's crafty, he's fast, his footwork, he's strong, he's so knowledgeable. And I mean, really, to get anything, any kind of tackle or stats or sacks in practice, anything like that, you got to work for it every single time. And so, I mean, I think that's the main thing, is everybody's, not just everybody's good, everybody's really good. And so you really got to fight tooth and nail day in and day out to get going around here.
Yeah, so in terms of OTAs and minicamp, what's it like? I mean, just can you tell me about a day at practice? How does that unfold?
Yeah, well, when we first got there, we went into minicamp. We had our rookie minicamp. And, man, me and a couple other guys, we had a delay on our flight coming into Pittsburgh. So, I mean, we got off the plane, got on the shuttle, took us to the facility. And I mean, we get into the building, we start doing some paperwork. Within 10, 15 minutes, we were up in the film room talking X's and O's with Coach Mitchell. And man, it was just that kind of monster. And so right away, we got thrown into the mix, thrown into the fire. And, you know, that day we got there, we were given the plays and given what was going to be called. And the next day we called it and we ran it. And hey, may the best man win. And if you can't memorize the plays, if you don't know what you're doing out there, well, there's another guy who does. And so yeah, it's been good. And so then you know, we practiced, we had practice twice a day on those first 2 days, and then one practice on the last day, and so five practices total. And then you know, we had lunch, dinner, breakfast in between, and then meetings with film study and things like that. So it was good. I mean, it was, it's just like, you know, your mini camp is just like training camp, just a smaller version. It's only 3 days. But usually it goes from early morning to late night. And so when I get back to Pittsburgh at the end of this month, we'll be going from early morning to late night pretty much every day.
Wow, so I can see why Tomlin's like, hey, you guys need to be in really good shape, especially, I'm sure, with the heat and everything, too.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it like seeing Ben Roethlisberger for the first time?
Oh, man, that was pretty cool. I mean, I tried to just act normal, you know what I mean? Because, he is who he is, you know, and I've been watching him for years and years in high school and in college, and now all of a sudden he's my teammate. And so, you know, at the same time, if I ever get a chance to get in on defense while he's, you know, the offense is on and he's in there, I'm going to try my best to get at him and go after him and sack his tail. But he's just, I mean, honestly, you're looking at greatness. And he's one of the best who've ever done it, not only for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but in this National Football League. And so, I mean, it's amazing. He's another guy. He comes out there, he comes to work, and he competes, and he wants to win. And when he's in a situation when we're, you know, the defense is backed up against the goal line, man, he wants to score, and he wants to put the ball in the end zone every single time. And that's just the way you have to practice to be great. And he definitely is good. So it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing. His locker is just right down the same row as mine. He's all the way at the end, and then I'm all the way at the other end. So, you know, I see him every day that we're in there. But, it's amazing because you're looking at greatness and one of the future Hall of Famer, all that, you know. And so it's awesome.
Yeah, it's funny when you're like, you're just trying to act normal. Was there anybody else you felt like you had to act normal around where you're just like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm right near this person right now?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of guys that I've been watching. James Harrison, for one, has been doing it a long time. Heath Miller is another guy. I mean, I'll go against him in practice, you know, just being that he's a tight end and where I'm positioned, I'll see him in practice on the field. Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, you know, some of these guys. Jarvis Jones, I've been watching, and, you know, he's only been in the league, I think, 3-4 years, something like that. But, I mean, still a really good player. And William Gay, some of these guys, and just – I just love being around it. I love being around them, seeing how they work and how they get to where they are.
Yeah, so in terms of the other rookies and undrafted free agents, because you guys are competing for the same spots and to make the team, so what's that balance like between friendship and camaraderie and, hey, I need to beat you?
Yeah, yeah, and it's an interesting dynamic. It's so very interesting because you're competing against guys not only at your position but at other positions. Because if there's an offensive lineman who, you know, if they have maybe all the defensive linemen they need or kind of want, and then there's an offensive lineman who's shown himself to be really good, well, then they'll leave the D lineman and take the offensive lineman and fill that spot. And so it's just a matter of being very competitive day in and day out. And you gotta, when you step onto the field, you really have to become a different person than you are off the field. You gotta be the boogeyman out there. You gotta be everybody's worst nightmare. And you never take any of that stuff off the field. And when you're, you know, we all lived together in the same hotel right up the street from the facility, and we hung out and did different activities. And it was all great, and we enjoyed each other. But that moment you put that hat on and step onto the field, you really got to change your mindset and change your outlook on things. But you're coming for a reason. You got a job to do on that field. And there's no buddy system or friendship out there on that field. And so it's just a balance. It's an interesting dynamic, but I've been doing it since college or even high school. And so, it definitely takes some getting used to.
Yeah, and you seem like a super chilled out guy. So when you're talking about being the boogeyman on the field, it sounds like you got a different skill set, a different side of you can pull out. What's the stress level like for you knowing that you're fighting for a spot on the team?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't say I get too stressed and too necessarily worked up and worried about it. But at the same time, I'm nowhere near relaxed. I definitely don't have my feet up. And I think I really believe that the guys who constantly are looking over their shoulder and paranoid that the next guy is working harder or running farther or studying his playbook more, I think that's the guy that stays around longer because he doesn't take anything for granted. And he says, you know what? I mean, hey, even if he was a 10-year veteran, he just that work ethic to say, no man is going to outwork me today, and no man is going to outwork me the next day. No man is, you know, and I think that's what keeps guys around for a long time. I mean, you look at guys who've been in the league 10-plus years, man, those guys, they work. They are hard workers. I mean, some of them might be cocky, they might be whatever, but at the end of the day, they are hard workers, and they don't let a lot of people outwork them.
And how about the coaching staff? You mentioned Mitchell and Tomlin. Do you remember the first time you encountered Mike Tomlin? Was that scary?
Yeah, it was an interesting. We were in the locker room, and he usually comes down into the locker room every single day, and he just asking guys how's it going. He's hey, how's it going? How you doing? Everything all right? Everything cool? Everything copacetic? And you know, like, yeah, good to see you, coach. And so he walked in doing that one day. And so I was like, oh, hey, and shook his hand. I'm like, hey, how you doing? And so we talked briefly. And, once again, he's a coach. He's been a really good coach. I mean, he's known around the league as one of the better coaches. Here in Pittsburgh, they don't do a whole lot of coaching carousel and the next guy after the next guy. And he's been here for a long time, and he's respected. And so I definitely spoke to him with the respect that he has earned and deserves, I think.
Yeah. Who else stands out for you in terms of just the OTAs and just the off season? Is there any other scenario or situation you can think of or person that stands out to you when you look back on that?
I think just, you know, I don't know. Just I think the thing I think about most, I would say, day in and day out, is just being on the team. And I'm not satisfied with just, hey, I got a spot on the team, I'm good to go. No, I'm not satisfied, but to wake up every day and to say, you know what, I played college football, I'm done with that, but I'm still playing football, I still have an opportunity, the dream is still alive. I mean, it's a blessing, and it's not a lot of guys who can say that. I mean, for my entire, you know, over the course of my 4 years at Liberty, we've had, you know, probably over 100 seniors graduate and leave over the course of those years. And right now we got, I think, five guys still playing professional. And it's just, it's hard and it's rare, and I'm just thankful. So I think that's the main thing that I just go every day, and I'm just thankful to still be alive.
Yeah. So you mentioned Team Liberty, and I know you, at some point in your life, you didn't even know you'd be a football player. You weren't even interested. So can you talk a little bit about your lack of interest in football growing up?
Yeah, I think it just wasn't something that I did oftentimes growing up. Like, you know, you play basketball at the court when you're like 5 years old and all the way up to 10, 11, 12, and then you develop a love for it. Next thing you know, you're playing high school, you're trying to play college. And I just didn't take that path. And I think, you know, we had a big family, and so, you know, we weren't necessarily looking to, like, oh, we got to get involved with something. You know, we just sit around the house all day. No, there's all these kids, 8, 9, 10 kids in the house, and so we're always doing something, running around. So we're plenty of occupied, and so we just never did it, really, you know, sports growing up. When I got to high school, I swam my freshman year of high school. And I think what really happened is I tasted competition, being able to compete and lose and win and get better. And it's just so thrilling. It's so exciting. And then I had played a little football, like, you know, pickup football, maybe in the park here and there, not a lot. And so I said, hey, you know, I'm a pretty nice-sized guy. You know, I'm not small, so I'll try for football. And so I did. And made the team my sophomore year, made the varsity team my sophomore year. I don't know what on earth I was doing out there, but I was doing something. And apparently it was football. I can't confirm that it actually was. But, and then I think after that year I started to take it a little bit more serious and then played and did well my junior and senior year. But then after high school, yeah, like you said, I wasn't, you know, football. I mean, the idea of playing college football was like, oh, yeah, you know, that'd be cool. I think that's a cool thing, but it's definitely not something I think I'm necessarily going to do or even can do, to be honest with you. And so I didn't. I went down to Fort Myers, Florida, and went to a school, a discipleship school down there for 2 years, and really enjoyed it and had a good time. And it's there that I fell back in love with football and really, you know, decided that I wanted to take it really serious and play in college.
And I know before you took football seriously, you were taking miming and street performance seriously. Can you tell me a little bit about how you're earning some extra money down there in Florida?
Yeah, and when I was in Florida, there was a beach. It was Fort Myers Beach. That was not too far from where I went to school. And I went down to the beach a few times, and I'd seen these street performers, and they do, I mean, all kinds of stuff, magicians and clowns and singers and people with guitars, just all good drums, you name it. And so I'd seen them, and they would, I mean, these people would just flock and crowd around these performances. And man, and when the performance was over or whatever, they would just fill up that bucket or that hat with cash and 20s and 5s. And I'm like, you know what? This is not a bad little gig, you know? I might want to step into this. And I had danced in high school, and I did. We had a ministry team at my church, and we traveled and did different dances and stuff like that. So I was pretty good at the robot, and I had done it a lot and, you know, different stuff, trying to practice. And so I went down to the beach. I had a hat. I put it on the ground and just started just doing a robot. Next thing you know, there's a crowd out there, and they're watching, and there's like oohs and ahs and stuff. And I'm not even that good. I'm really not. And it's just, you know, when tourists are down there, you know, they see something happen, and they just stop and watch. And yeah, that's what happened. So then I did that for a little while. Then I went on YouTube and saw a guy who was a really good mime, and he was like, this is this older Caucasian gentleman, and he was just phenomenal, really old, but just so good. Definitely a master at his craft. And I was just watching a YouTube video, and I was like, this guy is amazing. And so I started practicing based off what he was doing, and then took that to the beach, and then I started doing that as well. And so it definitely helped me get by. I was able to, you know, pay for lots of stuff, my cell phone bill, laundry. So many things I was able to finance just from doing street performing like 2-3 times a week.
So I heard, in addition to watching YouTube and upping your game by watching performers there, that you had another trick up your sleeve to attract a larger crowd.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I'd done the robot, then I started doing the mime. And then, you know, I'm like, hey, I can really take this thing to the next level. And you know, we'll see what happens. So I just took one of my outfits. I mean, literally just a pair of jeans out the closet. I had a jacket. I had a hat. The only thing I had to purchase was a mask, like a mask to put over my face. And I spray painted the whole thing a really shiny metallic silver. I mean, two cans of spray paint. Spray painted the whole thing, left it out to dry. And, I mean, shoes and all. And went outside and at the beach. And started dancing, and man, the crowd multiplied by at least two. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was like a whole, like a whole different act. And so I was a big 6'4", 230-pound tin man, and so I enjoyed it. It was fun, and people seemed to really enjoy it and get a kick out of it. And you know, they took pictures and different stuff. So it was fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, so but it sounds like at training camp, you're not going to be busting out with the robot like, hey, James Harrison, look what I can do.
Oh, no, I don't think they'd be too interested in all that. No, not at all.
Yeah, so you said that was a period of time where you got back into football. You started thinking about playing mm-hmm. football again. How did that happen?
Yeah, well, there's a friend of mine. His name was Stephen Ward. And he's still a good friend of mine to this day. And he was he was a phenomenal football player. He played tight end and defensive end in high school, but he had a dream to play quarterback for Liberty. And I mean, he had a cannon of an arm. I'm telling you, he was not just some random guy who wanted to play quarterback and, you know, didn't have a chance. No, this guy was the real deal. I mean, he's about 6'3", built like a truck. And so he and I, we played football a lot, like just pick up football. And if after a while, we weren't even allowed to be on the same team. Because if we were, man, he was that quarterback and I was playing receiver or tight end or whatever. I mean, we were absolutely unstoppable. And he was a year younger than I am. So my second year at the school, he was a freshman. And, so then that year, he said, hey, let's go visit Liberty together, Liberty is a Christian school. They're Division One, you know, all this other stuff. Yeah, I really think you'll like it. I said, you know, hey, why not? So I went to visit Liberty. I stepped on campus, and, I mean, the rest was history. I mean, I just – the campus was phenomenal. The facilities were amazing. The football team was not – they were not some Pee Wee League Christian school that everybody made the team and everybody got a trophy at the end of the day. No. These monsters were out there – they were in the snow. I visited the school in February. They had snow on the field, and they were pulling these 90-pound sleds through the snow, racing each other back and forth and back and forth. And I'm looking – I'm like, oh, my goodness. I mean, here I thought, you know, maybe I'll check it out. Now I'm looking at it like, man, I don't even know if I'll make the team with you guys. This is unbelievable. And so that was how I got introduced to Liberty University.
And so going into it, it sounded like you thought it might be like a Pee Wee League or like your church. Your mom mentioned you did a church league or played a pickup game once a year with your church. Were you sort of thinking, you know, Lynchburg, Virginia, a little field with some quaint bleachers? What was your initial impression? I mean, your initial assumption?
Yeah, that was my assumption. And it was, you know, because a lot of times when you get these leagues and they're faith-based and, you know, a Christian school, a lot of times they just want everybody to feel good and, oh, you came up for the team and, you know, whatever, and they play other Christian schools, no big deal. And, you know, just kind of a thing that was just for fun, not a real competitive spirit about it. And, boy, was I ever wrong. I mean, the first game of, you know, when I first got there, I was actually redshirted that year. We played against North Carolina State, and we almost beat them. And then the first game I actually played on the field was against Wake Forest. My best game my senior year was against UNC Chapel Hill. It was not what I thought it would be. Even down to the way they work and the way we lift weights is unbelievable. And it's really something amazing about that school. And so, yeah, I was definitely shocked when I got there to visit, and even more shocked when I got there as a player.
Yeah. And it looks like Kevin Fogg went to Liberty as well. Did you know him when he played there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kevin was great. Kevin went to Liberty. We were great friends. When I was he was our team captain. I think he was a captain 2 years, both his junior and senior year. And he was really. I remember watching him practice, and I just thought to myself, that kid is so fast. And when I first got there, and so so over the years we became friends. He's really serious about his faith, you know, and so am I. So we became friends. I mean, I really fed off his leadership, it's amazing for him to be here in Pittsburgh, because we definitely had a great relationship when he was over at Liberty University.
Yeah, because I heard the two punters, Wing and Barry, kind of came from the same place in Australia, and then you have Fogg there from Liberty, so it seems like an interesting coincidence that you got a familiar face there coming out of a school that doesn't send a lot of people to the NFL.
Yeah, it really is. Really ironic, but amazing, and just great. I mean, he's been a great help, just general stuff and the tricks of the trade and how to be successful and stuff like that, and so has been phenomenal having him there.
So tell me a little bit about how you figured out that you could play in the NFL.
Yeah, I think really for me it was back in the spring of 2013. It was after 2012 was the first season that I actually played, like, on the field in a game. And I had a decent season. It wasn't anything too great. I basically did what I was supposed to, didn't blow any huge assignments or anything like that. And so, you know, it was okay. And then in spring 2013, during spring football practice, I mean, it all just clicked for me. And I understood what I needed to do. I understood why I was doing it. I understood our defense. I understood the offense I was going against. And it was just phenomenal. At that point, you know, we played in the spring game, and the spring game is like the culmination of the whole spring practice season, spring football season. And in the spring game, I was just hoping to do well, and I ended up doing phenomenal. I mean, I was the co-MVP of the game, had two sacks, I think a tip pass, three tackles, I think, and just played a phenomenal spring football game. And afterwards, my coach, Vance Singletary, called me and told me that if, you know, I am an NFL player if he's ever seen one. And now he's coached in the NFL, so he has seen them. And he's coached NFL players up front and personal, up close and personal. And so he knows what they look like. And, I mean, just for him to tell me that, I think that was the first time he told me that. And I think I really believed him, you know, because I didn't, you know, it wasn't a prideful thing coming from inside of me that I thought I was this greatness, but I just trusted his word on it. And I said, you know, if it's, I can't be walking around like, oh, you know, I just hope something good happens for me. No, if you want it and you want to go get it, you got to believe it for yourself. And so I think, you know, just taking his words and running with it and working hard and is really when I saw myself as a guy who had a chance to make an NFL team.
Yeah, so what was it like to get the call from the Steelers?
Oh, that was phenomenal. I was with I was at the house with my mom and my younger brother, and I was actually outside. And the draft, you know, we were watching the draft. We were watching some of the later rounds and, you know, maybe hoping to get my name called, you know, nowhere before the fifth round for sure. We were thinking. And so we were kind of watching later rounds. Then when the draft ended, I didn't get drafted. And so my agent called me and he said, hey, listen, you know, you didn't get drafted, but it's okay. Just wait a couple minutes and the calls will start coming in. And I'm like, okay, sounds good. And so we waited really a couple minutes, 10 minutes maybe, and boom, then he calls me and says he's got Pittsburgh on the line. And so then through a series of conversations with the Steelers and a couple other teams, we thought that it would be best to sign with the Steelers, and so we did just that. Yeah.
And it sounds like your mom is super excited that, I mean, she told me she's going around in her Steelers gear. What's that been like for your family?
Oh, man, she's been loving it. It's been phenomenal. It's been great. I mean, we understand that each day is you got to take it as it comes. You never know what tomorrow's going to hold or anything like that. But yeah, family's been loving it, and family's been loving it. So it's just been good, you know, to have everybody around believing in it and stuff. And yeah, so it's been good. It's been a really blessed experience.
So in terms of just, you know, training camp coming up again, you mentioned, you know, you're running a lot, you're trying to get in great shape. Are you afraid of anything about training camp?
Say it one more time.
Are you afraid of anything related to training camp?
No, I wouldn't say afraid of anything coming in training camp. But once again, I'm definitely not relaxed, and I'm definitely not you know, just expecting to go in there and, you know, be this great player. I'm going in there with an attitude to work hard and learn as much as I can. And I think those two things are going to be my key to success, is just listening. The coach always says listening is a skill. And so it's something you have to train yourself to do and do well. And so that's what I plan to do.
Sounds like a really good plan.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so it's been great having you on. I appreciate the time you took, and it sounds like you've been working super hard, so Coach Tomlin's not going to get on your case when you can't run around because you've been working on that.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
I mean, I really feel like at this point there needs to be a mime story coming out of training camp, maybe a mysterious tin man on the field showing off his robot and such. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks for being on Black and Gold Backstage, and hopefully we can catch up again later and hear how it went for you at training camp.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, so this has been Black and Gold Backstage with Danny Bostic, and this has been Nico Davis.
All right.